So before forging forward today, I'd like to comment on a couple of things from yesterday's talk. I said, and this is quoting from Andy Ferguson's Zen Chinese Heritage, the Masters and Their Teachings. One day, as the monks in Mount Xiang chanted the Lotus Sutra, Hung Shui was enlightened upon hearing the phrase, Your I that existed before your parents' birth sees everything in 3,000 realms. This phrase, or koan, is a variation of show me your true face before your parents were born, or show me the sound of a single hand before your parents were born. These statements demand that you see through, that you see through past, present, and future, that you see through here and there to respond correctly to what is always right before you, to what is always looking out of your eyes and chewing with your own teeth. Another translation from a prominent book, mind you, the translator might be using another source document than the one Ferguson used, says, Hong Shui woke up when he overheard a monk reciting the line from the Avatamsaka Sutra, The eyes which our parents give us can behold 3,000 worlds. So here is Ferguson's, Your eye that existed before your parents' birth sees everything in 3,000 realms. And then, The eyes which our parents give us can behold 3,000 worlds. What do you think? The eyes which our parents give us can behold 3,000 worlds. This is a lovely sentiment and true. It is also good biology. And it is a Zen perspective, but only the top half of Zen. Later in the same book, the translator brings up Zhao Zhou's Wash Your Bowls. The koan goes like this. A monk said to Zhao Zhou, I have just entered the monastery. Please teach me. Zhao Zhou said, Have you eaten your rice gruel? Yes, I have, the monk replied. Zhao Zhou said, Wash your bowls. The translator implies that this is a daily life koan, meaning, I think, that first you eat your breakfast, then wash your bowls, then dry them and put them away. This is having good manners, and it is something my grandmother taught me. And although she was correct in her teaching, she was not a Zen master. And Zhao Zhou was and still is. Wash your bowls, dry, and put them away is a lovely and pertinent Zen teaching. But again, this is only the top half of Zen. Please look a little more deeply, and I think you will see the Cheshire smile of Zhao Zhou gleaming through the darkness as he points below to the ground of reality we are always walking on. He is pointing to the natural configuration of the universe, which may include good manners, but also much, much more than that, or much, much less. I'm saying all this now as an encouragement when you're at home to read critically. Find more than one translation and notice the bias, the depth of insight, and the leanings of each author-translator. Each has weaknesses, each strengths. Do dokusan with the material. Ask the translator questions. Better yet, look up the Chinese characters online and match them with the author's translation. Take or audit a course or two or three in Chinese. Allow your reading to be true practice, not a distraction or a way to substantiate what you think you already know. And don't rely solely on one person for his or her translations. That isn't fair to you, it's not fair to your practice, and it's not fair to that one translator. Now, one other thing before we move on and look more closely at the imprint of silent illumination. A few commentators, when writing about silence, were insistent that true silence needed all thinking, all thoughts to stop. This is a lovely condition. It is quite joyous feeling when thinking, feeling, and sensing stop. Stop for a moment or two, or for an hour, or for a day or two. It is also quite powerful and invigorating to sit at the gateway, to sit as the gateway of thoughts, feelings, and perceptions, and cut them off, or abandon them, or stop them before they have ever begun to form. When we do this, all there is wind blowing, frost gleaming, and birds flying across the sky of mind, leaving no traces or trails. But as Eiken Roshi said on more than one occasion, the stomach secretes pepsin and the brain thoughts. Some minds do not seem to stop, ever. I think with thoughts or no thoughts, with feelings or no feelings, with perceptions or no perceptions. The point is to not attach or abide or get stuck with the arising, with the duration, and with the falling away. Hung Shui asks, haven't you yourself established the mind that thinks up all the illusory conditions? He then said, we all have the clear, wondrously bright field from the beginning. Many lifetimes of misunderstanding come only from distrust, hindrance, and screens of confusion that we create in a scenario of isolation. So just stay with your breath counting, returning again and again as or if you are carried away. Just stay with mu, doing mu. Let the sounds fill you, and the thoughts will become like clouds, simply phenomena floating across the mind of sky, forming in the southwest, traveling northeast, and for no reason, dissipating. And you, just staying with your one and only practice, moment after moment, day after day, lifetime after lifetime. In this way, you will touch, you will be the silence that is all things. Simply trust. Trust the process, trust your practice, and trust your life as it unfolds in the only way that it can. So today's lines read like this. In darkness, it glows with brightness. In shadows, it shines with a splendid light, like the dream of a crane flying in the frosty mist, like the clear water reaching the autumn sky. Endless eons dissolve into nothingness, each indistinguishable from the other. And in this brightness, all striving is forgotten. So the first two lines, in darkness, it glows with brightness. In shadows, it shines with a splendid light. After a many-week trip to the south of China, carrying his Diamond Sutra commentaries and texts, Daishan finally arrived at the Zen master Lung Tan's monastery. Daishan was a scholar and expert on the Diamond Sutra, akin to a PhD in our society, who makes his living teaching at an Ivy League school, writing books and articles, with occasional expert opinion pieces on the television or giving TED Talks. He journeyed south to rectify the mistaken notions of the Zen heretics, who were teaching about realization outside of words and scriptures. Before meeting with Lung Tan, he stopped at a roadside refreshment stand run by an old woman. The woman, noticing the cart filled with the sutras and commentaries, asked, "What is it you're carrying in your cart?" Daishan answered. She said, "I have a question about the Diamond Sutra, and if you can answer it for me, I will not charge you for your refreshment." Daishan was somewhat taken aback, but thought, "I may as well answer her silly question, have my free drink, and then straighten out the local Zenists." The old woman said, "I hear the Diamond Sutra says, past mind cannot be grasped, present mind cannot be grasped, future mind cannot be grasped. Which mind does your reverence intend to refresh?" Daishan was thrown by this question and unable to speak. Flabbergasted and still speechless, he dragged himself away from the stand and wandered in a daze to the Zen temple. There he met with Lung Tan. His confidence still shattered, he asked Lung Tan questions late into the night. Finally, the teacher said, "It is late. Why don't you retire?" Daishan, still dazed, I imagine, from his long journey, his comeuppance at the stand of the old woman, and his first meeting with a teacher not based in words, sutras, and commentaries, rose from his seat. He opened the door and stepped outside, but was met with complete and utter darkness. He turned back to Lung Tan and said, "It is dark outside, dark." Lung Tan handed him a lighted candle. And just as Daishan turned back into the blackness, Lung Tan blew out the candle. At this, the text says, Daishan had realization. He saw the light in the darkness. He saw the light as the dark. He saw the light in all things as all things, including himself. Each in the darkness gleamed and glowed, stained by the full moon that never sets. Another way to say this might be, we all have night eyes. Initially, as we walk into the night's dark, we stumble and falter. We are nearsighted and easily lose our directions. All seems to be flat, neutral, black, and two-dimensional. But as we practice and walk through the alleys and back roads of night, our eyes begin to adjust. All is still dark, but the night begins to come to life. We still can't tell a tree stump from a bear from a large rock, but the non-differentiated blackness begins to pulse and breathe. And then at some point, maybe after a year of practice, or a decade, or a century, the moon begins to peek over the shoulder of Bowman Mountain, and the valley floor is enlivened with the light which flares and gleams. It is hard to tell if the brightness comes from the moon or if each thing is simply radiating light, having in some sense swallowed the moon. The dew on the tip of each blade of grass reflects light, as do the rocks, the tree stumps, and the slowly waking bear. Our night eyes are adjusting, and there is now depth and movement, and the night glows with brightness. And if we're lucky, we continue to practice. For now, our practice truly begins. We become more and more adept and attuned to walking in the dark, to noticing that the greatest to the smallest, all are filled with light. We notice that, like snow or water on a full moon night, each thing sparkles both from within and without. And then, in some other time, the moon sinks and the sun rises. And now, again, our practice truly begins. We take our night eyes into the stark, glaring brilliance of the day, where the soft edges of moonlight become angular and distinct. Our practice here is not to bring the night to day, but to notice the glow of moonlight still in all things, as all things. And our practice here is to notice that even in the shadowy places of our psyches, even in the shadowy places of our lives and of this world, still it shines with a splendid light. We may want realization to mean, now I am at peace. We may want it to mean, now I'm calm, and now I'm joyous everywhere, always. But though our hope and need may be pure, we still, the world still casts shadows. But the great mystery and wonder of practice is that even in the shadows, even your dark places, even your unresolved places, even your broken and wounded places, even all of that shines still with a splendid light. How wonderful to know this. How marvelous to taste this just as you are, just as the world is. This is the interminable, the intractable optimism of Zen Buddhism. No matter where you are, or how you are, or who you are, no matter who your parents were, no matter the color of your skin, your sexual identity, the amount of money you do or don't have, still, it shines with a splendid light. So with all this said, you might be thinking a couple things. First, why practice if this is so? And why behave or conduct myself appropriately if all shines? In the Avatamsaka Sutra, after the Buddha's night eyes were opened when he saw the morning star for the very first time, he rose from his seat under the Bodhi tree and said, I now see all beings everywhere, fully possess the wisdom and virtue of the Tathagata. But because of false conceptions and attachments, they do not realize it, and so each must experience it for herself. So each must open his or her own night eyes. it isn't enough to hear the good news. Hung Shui says it like this: how amazing it is that all people have this, but cannot polish it into bright clarity. In darkness unawakened, they make foolishness cover their wisdom and overflow. You must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Then you can reside in the clear circle of brightness. So you must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Then you can reside in the clear circle of brightness. Once our night eyes open to the deep connectedness of all things, once they open to the fact that the light falls on and from each, the precepts, not to kill, not to steal, not to lie, and so on, are known, are realized as expressions of that experience and of that very mind. When each thing is known as your very own self, and your own self every other thing, why would you kill? Or who would you kill? Or steal from? Or lie to? The imprint of silent illumination next says, like the dream of a crane flying in the frosty mist, like the clear water reaching the autumn sky, endless eons dissolve into nothingness, each indistinguishable from the other. And in this brightness, all striving is forgotten. This is a lovely image, isn't it? In some ways, this is a lovely depiction of the mind of silent illumination. Initially, our night eyes aren't able to see anything other than thick blackness. But then as we begin to waken from our small individual dream to the great dreamscape of Shakyamuni Buddha, we see the non-differentiation, the sameness of all things. This is like the clear water reaching the autumn sky. The entire landscape is gray, gray waters reaching to the gray skies, or gray skies falling into the gray water. All is one thing, a mirror reflecting only the image of another mirror. I and you, the same. The mountains and rivers, not different. All united in the black of night or in the water reaching to the autumn sky. In this vast plane of non-differentiation, there is no other. There is no other place. There is no other time. There is no other dimension. There is no other. There isn't this because of that. There isn't born or unborn. There isn't dead or undying. All things dissolve or merge into not even one. All each indistinguishable. Actually, even saying dissolves into nothingness is making too much of nothing at all. And in this, and in this experience, in this brightness, all striving is forgotten. You forget even yourself, as Mu does Mu. You forget even yourself as the raven call and as the lone elf call fills you. You forget even yourself as the numbers count you, because there isn't anything else. as you wander in this great circle, which has no inside or outside. As you wander in this great circle, which has no gaps.